So we have a really easy to listen to session right after lunch. Especially since it was such a short lunch period. So while you're digesting your lunch, as was said earlier, some effort will be made to provide you with some tools. Hopefully, one or another or many of these tools you'll find helpful. From my experience in Japa retreats, it's practically unpredictable what can prove is one person's tool, another person's tool that really helped them, especially during the 64 round day tomorrow. So some of these things some of you have heard before. Take notes, mental or written notes, and see what Krishna inspires from within in the course of your day tomorrow, and something may be a nice shelter that can help you cross very successfully the 64 round day in great absorption. I'll start with just some general advice about good chanting. One piece of advice, you've all heard it before. Early in the morning is the best time to chant. I know some brahmacharis and I know some householders that get up very early. I mean, 2 o'clock in the morning, very early. There's a grihastha couple. They don't live in Bombay anymore, but they lived at the time. They lived in Bombay in a with a child. And they described the fluctuation of their rising time and their resting time and how it made such a huge difference, like day and night and day. And they found that the best, not only performing their sadhana very early, enabled all of their hearing, chanting, mangalarti, everything before the husband had to go to work and the boy had to do his schooling. And then health issue got in the way and took a long time and recovered, but never really recovered. And then it was night for a long time, and then they realized, whoops, it's night, let's go back to day. And so they got started, you know, 3:30, 3 o'clock. So it may for some seem extreme, but it's a world of difference. So we'll go to something that's a little, maybe for others of you, more practical. Brahma Muhurta hour is ideal time. Brahma Muhurta hour is calculated by the time that the sun rises, and you count back 90 minutes, and it lasts for 48 minutes. Almost a little over half of those 90 minutes. So it's summertime, so the sun rises earlier, so you have to get up earlier to capture the Brahma Muhurta time. But anything, any spiritual activity that's done during those hours, that activity is especially spiritually beneficial. Every day, something similar to our Ekadasi day or appearance days of the Lord, every day that Brahma Muhurta hour is very special. So rise early. And here's another feedback that I've received. There was a period of time when my devotional service looked a lot different than it looks now, and I had time to receive sadhana charts from devotees. And the consistent realization of those who kept track of their sadhana was a one-to-one correlation between what time they get up and how good their sadhana was and how the rest of the day went. So if you're struggling, get up early, chant early, and have a nice day. And if you're having a nice day, continue to get up early and chant early and have a nice day. And if something that comes up that disturbs any one of those three parts of the things, next morning get up early and see how, not like competing, but see how it fluctuates when you, because there's a key to getting up early, and that's going, you go to bed early. You can't maintain if you don't do that. There's auspicious times for everything. That's especially auspicious time for spiritual practice. Even Krishna got up early in the morning. The crowing of the roosters, and he would get up and perform his morning puja, which was meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He meditated on himself. Ahangra upasana, imitated by Mayavadis. So, another item is pronunciation. I recently had this experience where it was a gathering of devotees, and the devotee, it was new people, and the devotee was, they passed out beads and they're having all the new people chant Maha Mantra. And consistently, there was a syllable missing. They were training up everybody how to chant minus one syllable. So, don't do that. There's 32 of them. 16 plus 16. The one that's commonly missed, if there's a syllable that's missing, is Rama. But, you know, they were Hari Ram, Hari Ram, 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 Hari Hari. And I didn't say anything till afterwards. Actually, I didn't say it till, you know, you did a nice program. Here's a suggestion. Say all the syllables. So this is Hare Krishna. The Prabhupada speaks of the pronunciation is where the upper and lower lip both move. It's not too difficult to do that. When you're trying to chant more swiftly than, for whatever the reason, you may not make the sounds properly. So one of the ways to make sure that you're chanting the sound properly is to pronounce properly. Very high science. Pronounce properly, the sounds come out properly. And three things. One is, if you find that your mind is not focused, the mouth is going, but you're not focused, try this. Try pronouncing the sound clearly. Try it when you're chanting and tomorrow or sometime, and the mind isn't focused. Try pronouncing the syllables clearly, because when you pronounce the syllables clearly, it's a trick. The mind gets tricked, because then you have to pay attention to the sound to see if you're pronouncing the syllables correctly. It works, at least for a little while. Until the mind gets lazy and wants to go somewhere else again. Another is, practice your japa as if someone is listening to your japa. I mean, you can start with Krishna, but it could be somebody else, like a friend or a spouse or somebody. And then you can even go one step further and you can record it. And then hand your recording to someone to critique your chanting. Oh, that improves the quality of your pronunciation. And I, again, when my devotional service landscape looked a lot differently than it looks today, I had this regular practice where I would have devotees record their chanting and I would listen to it. You know, practice and practice and practice, and then when you feel you've got it down, record it. And the whole side, like, you know, that, and then it was audio cassettes. I would listen to a whole side, and when you listen to someone else's chanting like that over a period of time, you can hear when they space out. You can hear when the mind becomes inattentive. You can hear it audibly. So I invite you to try that. And we're going to have a little session where we're going to pair up and have you critique with somebody that you don't mind being critiqued by. They'll listen to you chant, and then they'll give you some feedback. I hope we have time for all that. Is that coming up? Hey, look at it, it's coming up. Let's do it now. Okay. Look to your left or to your right or behind you, in front of you.
Please find a partner. Quickly.
Go quickly.
So partner A, raise your hand.
There's two, there's A's and B's.
For 2 minutes, and partner A just tricked you a little bit here. Partner B is going to chant for 2 minutes. Partner A is going to carefully listen to partner B, and then you're going to critique the chanting. So pronunciation, level of devotion, apathy, and be gentle on your critique. And then we'll do partner A can then chant and partner B can critique. Okay, you can start now. And chant like you usually chant.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krish
Okay, we can stop now and partner A can critique. A lot to critique about your partner. Now you can hear from your partner. You can go ahead and start now. You can chant. We can stop now and we can critique your partner.
Thank you.
Krishna. Hare Krishna. Okay, Hare Krishna. So it's like, sounds like a very simplistic exercise, but actually even many senior devotees had major breakthroughs and they realized they were skipping a few syllables and their chanting really transformed after doing this little exercise. So we'd like to take a little time now to share, if someone would like to share their experience, something they realized, something they found out, some insight. Yes. Okay. 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 How about the pronunciation? Okay. Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
So I think the rhythm of the chanting is also important for the correct pronunciation. The rhythm gets altered, sometimes syllables get missed.
Yeah, thank you. Anyone else? Yes.
Volume. What's good is that your mind is absorbed in the holy name, whatever the pitch. Whichever helps you absorb your mind in the holy name, that's good. I'll make a comment about pitch. I can't remember who it was. Somebody was telling me, somebody was expressing this in the past, that they noticed that some devotees chanting japa kind of like a butterfly with the pitch. And those persons who chant like that, they're kind of like personality, mental cases. I don't know if there's any truth to that or not, but it's not necessarily, it has to be the same pitch, both parts of the mantra or all parts of the mantra. But it's not a melodious, it's mantra. Mantras can be chanted with different intonations, that's proper.
Maharaj will speak something about breath also later.
It's coming up. coming attractions. Well, I'll say now. I have experimented. You can try experimenting. How many breaths per mantra? I mean, per how many mantras per breath? And what specifically? What helps your concentration? Sometimes it's two. Sometimes it's three mantras per breath. I had this. I experimented over a period of time as having discussion with another devotee, and it helps both. I found it helps both concentration and intensity and pace or rhythm or speed if it's three breaths, and it helps in part because the mind remains peaceful. But another thing I found out is just by paying attention, you can pay attention better. You know, like, is it two or is it three, which is better? Just by paying attention. They've made experiments where the people in the workplace, they knew that different things were going on to see where the performance was. And the fact that they were being evaluated for their performance with different variables helped their performance. Didn't even so much matter what was being varied. So, by breath, commonly extended breath, it takes some time to breathe, and speaking volume, if you speak softly, well, that's coming up, then you can sustain generally, like I can, three mantras per breath very easily. It's not like a big deal if you chant softly. If you chant, you know, like some people chant, it's, you know, maybe one breath.
More sharing or you need to continue?
Say back the part that you heard.
You said her partner who critiqued, she said that feelings are important.
Yeah.
And that she was realizing herself by the feelings. Oh. What about
steel framed heart? What about it?
Oh.
Last one. Yeah, I'll offer some feedback. When I was listening to devotees who had recorded their japa, the first two rounds were generally pretty good. Generally. It's after the first two rounds, like this 2.5 minutes, like that's a piece of cake, right? So, after the first couple of rounds, that's when it starts to fade a little bit. So, on your own time, if you have the desire to do so, find a partner, commit to, you share each other's recorded japa, listen to it, critique it, and thus the exercise alone will help you make your japa better. Okay, so how loud to chant? There are three different types of volume. One is loud, one is soft, and one is silent. There are terms for them. And according to Prema Vivarta, Jagatananda Pandit writes that Haridas Thakur used to chant 3 times 64 rounds every day, and each of those three was one of the three kinds: loudly, softly, and silently. Gayatri Mantra, for example, is to be chanted silently, or sometimes it's described murmuring. Japa is softly. Softly, Prabhupada defined, is loud enough so you can hear it, but not loud enough so that it disturbs other people. Softly. When I was a very new devotee, Giriraj Maharaj was then a brahmachari, and he chanted loudly. It wasn't kirtan, it was japa of kirtan volume. And he would sit in the temple room and start chanting japa, and everybody got up and left because they couldn't concentrate. So they were complaining to him, you know, to chant more softly. So he wrote a letter to Prabhupada about how loud should one chant, and Prabhupada wrote, I saw the letter, and we all saw the letter. We just had to shrug our shoulders and chant somewhere else besides where Giriraj Maharaj was chanting. But Prabhupada said, chanting audibly is good. It helps capture the mind. And he said, as far as speed, you should chant swiftly. That also helps capture the mind, but not so swiftly you cannot hear every syllable. That's a nice rule. Not so swiftly you cannot hear every syllable, but chant swiftly because it helps to capture the mind. And then he gave a time frame of 2 hours for chanting 16 rounds is good time. And as you become more proficient, it may take you less. He didn't say you're bad if it's more or something like that. That just was a guideline to go by. Here's a quote from Nectar of Devotion, chapter 9, about volume. Chanting a mantra or hymn slowly and softly is called japa, and chanting the same mantra loudly is called kirtana. For example, uttering the Maha Mantra very softly, only for one's own hearing, is called japa. Chanting the same mantra loudly for being heard by all others is called kirtana. Maha Mantra can be used for japa and kirtan also. When japa is practiced for the personal benefit of the chanter, but when kirtan is performed for the benefit of all others who may hear. When japa is practiced, it is for the personal benefit of the chanter. Now, there was a certain person who was going around saying, it's bogus to chant audibly. You're supposed to chant in your mind. And, you know, that was like one of those, hey, what's going on? What's going on? Kind of questions. So in Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's very clear. Haridas Thakur takes away the cloud of doubt by saying that when one chants audibly, that's better. He chanted all three ways. When one chants audibly, that's better, because not only you benefit, but if it's audible, others, other living entities will also benefit. And by benefiting other living entities, the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, and therefore it's better. But the softly has, there's benefits of both, audibly and silently. It combines them both, and that's basically what we're to do. There's now an exercise. Yes? Okay.
So we're going to practice Upamsu chanting, which is softly chanting. And the purpose really is, you know, loudly definitely captures our mind. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, loud chanting, you know, when the mind is not cooperative, we chant loudly, it will capture the mind. But then we also find sometimes devotees, you know, really chanting loudly, going, Krishna, 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 you know, like, it just becomes a little too passionate. And the mind is not there in that. So, the soft chanting, we want to bring our mind to the process of hearing again. So it takes some effort to produce soft sound and then hear it. And sometimes when we chant too loudly, we can be quite spacey, and of course we can be spacey even when we're softly chanting. But but we can practice this soft chanting, Upamsu chanting. So just take your beads and you can chant for 2 minutes in the soft way. I'll chant two mantras and then you can continue. And the essence is again to just bring your mind to hearing with the name, and just audibly enough that you can hear it. Stop. You can practice it when you're doing the 64 rounds tomorrow.
Okay, so the next, these are for tomorrow and therefore after tomorrow. Posture. Sit properly. They have a title on the japa tape. A godbrother, Nayana Baram, told me the story behind the sit properly tape. At 61 second, the Hare Krishna movement started at 26 Second Avenue, a very small storefront. And they outgrew the space. So they had to get a larger space, but they didn't have the funds to buy anything, so they just rented another space. And it's up the Second Avenue on the opposite side of the street, on a little, like a second floor instead of a ground floor space. And that was 61 Second Avenue. And maybe you've seen pictures of the altar, because at 26 Second Avenue there wasn't an altar, it was just Prabhupada's Vyasasan in the back, no deities. But the 61 Second Avenue, they had deities. So the deities were a tall structure, wooden structure, and Prabhupada's Vyasasan was over to the side. So in a regular manner, Prabhupada would come to 61 Second Avenue and sit with the devotees and chant japa with the devotees. Very intimate. And one of those mornings, it was recorded. And Nayana Brahm said he was, you know, with his leg up like this, leaned up against the altar, slumped over like a bag of potatoes. And Prabhupada looked at him and stopped chanting and told him, sit properly. There's one youth somewhere in the world of ISKCON that has shared with me that they have trouble with their japa. They just like don't have any taste for chanting. And I've commented to them now about 5 times about their posture. And their posture helps them feel, you know, enter into the space where they don't have any attraction for chanting. There's one of these classic stories of a disciple came to a spiritual master revealing his heart, saying, you know, I have so much trouble and tribulation, this thing, that thing, and the other thing, and he was kind of slumped over. So a spiritual master slumped over and then leaned up and said, it works, I feel miserable too. In Sachinandan Swami is planning to create an institute. I assume he's still working on it because he had paid staff, something like a dozen, half dozen or something, people working full time, creating an institute for something. So body, mind, heart, and soul. It's like taking people that, kind of a very sophisticated bridge preaching thing. We're taking people that really knew nothing about anything other than, you know, holistic, that nice word. And it's popular in Germany too. And so, you know, taking our Gaudiya teachings, making it approachable for people. And one of the essential things is, you know, how you treat your body. So aside from, you know, diet, just especially when chanting, there's a reason why in the yoga practice it's with head and neck erect. So in a straight line. Prabhupada spoke about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and how he was always, you never see a picture of him like this. It's always, and it helps concentration when you're, it's a physical, but it helps the concentration. If the spine is straight, the head is straight. Kaladri Prabhu described to me, for some period of time in his service, he got the opportunity to massage Srila Prabhupada's body. And he said that there in his back of his neck, there's a very strong muscle, because Prabhupada always kept his head like this. Not just like you, but it when you use your back properly, you'll get stronger back muscles. But so if it takes stronger back muscles to hold your back straight, no problem. Get strong back muscles, because it'll help you to concentrate if your back is straight. And seated is especially effective. One devotee's, oh yeah, I know where it was. One devotee's parents said, you know, they were appreciating their son had become a devotee, or was becoming a devotee. They liked that fact. Said, but we couldn't get the idea of, you know, walking, moving meditation, how does that work? Because, you know, he would come home, he would go for a japa walk. And they didn't get it. Said, but one can move. And some devotees, that's just part of their meditation. They're moving. But best concentration is made when you're seated like this, in the cross-legged posture. Legs down. Probably about 15 times I had the experience where Prabhupada would tell somebody, stop, because they would jiggle their leg, and he would, like, you know, right in the middle of class would stop and say, just point, stop that. What Prabhupada said in one occasion, room conversation, somebody asked Prabhupada, why is that not good? And Prabhupada said, it increases sex agitation. That's what he said. So, it's, in other words, it's passion increasing. So let your body be straight in posture, and head and neck is like in a straight line, and that's some thoughts on posture. There's a statement from the Yamala Tantra that if your body is crooked, it induces crooked thoughts. So if you want crooked thoughts, you can have a crooked body. It helps you stay not only alert, but even helps you stay awake if you sit in a straight position. Mind affects, is affected by the body, and the body affects the mind. So, something that relates to pronunciation is next, and that's don't skip syllables. So something like the comment that was made of, you know, the first couple of rounds are clear, but as you go along, that inattentiveness can show specifically in skipping syllables. And when you're skipping syllables, it means you're not paying attention, because somebody else can tell you that you're not you're skipping syllables, and you'll say, no, I'm not skipping syllables. But you don't see it, or you're not noticing it, because you're not paying attention. It happens when you're not paying attention. So make sure that you're not only even words, but syllables. So we have another exercise. No? Chanting in pairs? Oh, that's me. Let's do this. Here's a mantra sheet, so you can think in terms of pairs. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. You don't have to, like, say it so in that broken manner. But let's do this for like a minute, minute and a half, 2 minutes. Think of the mantra in those terms as pairs. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Comment on beads. I will personally discourage strongly from chanting on those little metal things. I don't know if anybody here does that, but it's not clickers. Not if necessity dictates. Reluctantly, all right. But otherwise, that's not a good, it's not, it's an invention. There's a reason why we have beads, and one of them is counting, but the other is touching Tulsi. By coming in contact with Tulsi, it's purifying. And if you're in the practice of chanting attentively, or striving to chant attentively, just by holding your beads, it helps bring the mind to focus. So when you have your hands on your beads and you're chanting, be focused, because it will, that tactile contact will help you, you know, positively, or like I was describing the other way around, negatively. Maharaj, as soon as I put my hand in my bead bag, it's... So, is Govinda still here? There was one person in Vrindavan, I won't mention his name, who was going around making a big deal about, it was particularly in Vrindavan, about not jiggling your beads, because Prabhupada said not to do it. So all the devotees in Vrindavan got into this, like, he jiggled their beads. And it became, you know, jiggling bead conscious instead of Krishna conscious. But at least for us in general, part of the thing with moving your beads like that is they sometimes have a tendency to get tangled. So lift them so they're not... Lift them so that they're not tangled, and just let them fall back inside your bead bag so that you're not like... Just a little anecdotal thing. Because I travel a lot and I sit in airplanes sometimes, many times it's next to people. When I start chanting, I see them going like that. Or they go like that. And some go, oh. And one time there was like a very kind of haughty, wealthy, kind of snobby lady. And I pulled out my beads, and I wasn't even noticing what I was doing. I just like got ready and just went like that. She looked at me and went, "Are you going to do this the whole time?" I said, "I'm very sorry, I won't." And then, you know, I just chanted very softly and moved my beads like very carefully. And she looked at the beads and went, "Awesome." And I thought, she's right, it's awesome. Chanting Krishna's name. Ramaswar. Have anyone seen Ramaswar chant? Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. So his whole body is absorbed in his arm, his hand, absorbed. You can even hear him say the word absorbed with his Long Island accent, absorbed in chanting. But it's you've also seen that little stick, yes, that yogis would have or sages would have sitting on their nice deer skin and little stick where they keep their hand in an upright position and just chant the holy name. So let's get that one. Going to go to I found at the last Japa retreat, I mentioned this already, but the Trataka process is very helpful, can be helpful. That's following the mantra. There's ones over there, and ones we place them in different places. So if you want to have a close-up look or whatever you want to do, there's a number of these mantra signs. It's an authorized or authentic process. The son of Lord Nityananda, Virabhadra Gosai, had this practice. He had the mantra carved into a stone, and part of his puja in the morning was to perform abhishek of the stone. He was bathing the holy name, and would sit in front of the stone and chant mantra. Gorkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, similarly, he was illiterate, but he dictated a letter to a disciple or to a follower, to a student, and here's what is written. You should write the mantra containing 16 names in big letters and keep them before you and do japa while looking at them. You should not look at or think of anything belonging to the world of Maya. The letters of the Nama mantra have such shakti that if you continue doing japa while looking at them, we will one day have darshan of Radha and Krishna with their associates. There's another historical example of this, of one yogi who had a disciple, and the disciple wanted to know what is an effective way of bringing the mind into concentration. So the yogi told him, I'll teach you a lesson. Find somebody who is falsely accused of some crime and bring that person here. So he found somebody matching that description, and he brought the person, and the person was, oh, Swamiji, please help me. So he said, you go before the judge, and I will have him speak a different sentence than he's intending to say. And so he, some particular things he spoke and said, he will speak like this. And then when the judge spoke, he spoke exactly as he said. The person came back and said, how did you do this? He said, it's by this power of this Trataka practice. So we're going to have a little exercise in doing that. Maybe you'll find this as a useful tool, some part of the 64 rounds tomorrow.
So Trataka is basically looking at the mantra and following it. It creates a certain power. Like yogis, they'll focus on a candle, their gaze, like that, and they'll meditate. It creates a certain power. So that's essentially what it is. Here's Hare Krishna, which is supposed to be everywhere. So you can look at the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and as you're chanting each name of the mantra, look at that particular word and chant. And just a comment about all these exercises. Perhaps you're wondering, oh, there's so many tools, how are we going to like apply all this? But the purpose of all these tools is just one thing, to help bring our mind to the chanting. Don't get lost in them. And sometimes one tool works and sometimes another tool works, but if we have so many tools, at least something may come to our mind when our mind is off somewhere. So let's look at the mantra and chant together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
So now, you could try closing your eyes and visualizing the mantra as you're chanting and see if you can keep your focus. Some people are more visual people, so if you can't visualize, don't beat yourselves up, it's all right. You can open your eyes and look at the mantra again. People like to have like little mantra cards sometimes, and you know, just while chanting japa, if the mind is like really crazy, you can just look at the mantra card and just follow the mantra as you're chanting, and it helps bring the mind at once. So you can try now with your eyes closed to visualize the mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
How many of you found it beneficial? Does it help calm your mind?
This session is going to end at 4:30. And then we're going to have Kevalastakam, and then we'll continue for a bit after that. So kind of a concluding little section of these different tools. There are others. I think we're going to have another exercise or two of some others. But the benefit is investing consciousness and practical application of these, or in simple language, practicing. Again, this Ojai, California Japa retreat that I attended, Ravindra Sarup Prabhu was one of the presenters, or he was asked to speak on a topic or two. And one of the topics that he chose was abhyasa, practice. So that verse, the phrase comes from a verse of Bhagavad Gita where Krishna speaks about the necessity of constant practice and detachment. And by that method of constant practice, there's transformation or a change of consciousness. Just a little sharing is, I heard Prabhupada say on so many occasions that practice becomes second nature. I just kind of heard it and just listened to it and it rolled on. But because he said it so many times, I understood he meant something special by it. So I heard it again and heard it again and heard it again, and practice becomes second nature. So we have our nature that's conditioned by the modes. That's what means by nature, conditioned by the modes. Then there's another kind, and that the other kind is when you want to have a change of conditioning, then you can practice and practice. The phrase is here, practice makes perfect, but he would say practice becomes second nature. And second nature replaces the other one. Like, you know, by second nature, I open my mouth when my eye blinks. I don't even have to think about it. When some object comes flying at my eyes, the eyes blink. It's second nature. It just happens. So those things which we practice becomes our nature. So I'm going to read a morning walk conversation. Srila Prabhupada in San Francisco, March 23rd, 1968. He's speaking about this. Yes, Prabhupada said, practically everything depends on practice. Abhyasa yogi yuktena chetasa nanya gamina. Abhyasa yoga. Abhyasa yoga means yoga practice. Practice it. So this whole Krishna consciousness movement is to practice transferring from one kind of consciousness to another. So we require practice. Just like one man can run a few miles. I cannot even run 1 mile. He has practiced. We see some boys, they run. Run on. They practice. Practice it. Strength of the heart increasing by practice. And if I run, my heart will be palpitating because I have no practice. So, by practice, everything can be attained. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Determination. And this determination is increased by celibacy. Brahmacharya is recommended to keep oneself determined. A brahmachari, if he determines something, he executes. He has got that strength of mind. Those are too much addicted to sex life. They cannot be determined. They cannot be fixed up. They are fluctuating, changing. people are in modern day, they cannot sit down in one place for a long time. Therefore, so much traveling. Traveling business is very prosperous. Everyone wants to travel. They cannot fix up. So the processes recommended, they are very valuable, but it is not possible to follow them all in the present age because everything is reducing. So our method is to pray to Krishna to give us the necessary strength, that's all. Otherwise, by regular practice, this age is very difficult, unfavorable. First thing is memory is very short. We cannot remember. Life is very short. Life is short at the same time so much disturbed by anxiety, by disease, by natural disturbances, roga, shokadibihi, short life. That is also disturbed by disease and lamentation. Every moment there is something for which you have to lament. Oh, roga, shokadibi, and disease. This body is a breeding ground for all kinds of disease. Life is short, and it is so much disturbed. So how is it possible to practice? Therefore, this one practice, chanting Hare Krishna and hearing, that is very nice. And praying to Krishna, please give me strength. Hare, O energy of Krishna, O Krishna, I am fallen, I have no strength, please accept me. That's all. I have no qualification, I am frail, I am trying, but I am failing. All these appeals should be made. And Krishna is all-powerful, he can do anything. Even we do not perform trying our best. If we fail, Krishna will help us. Just like a child tries his best but he falls down, the mother takes up and, all right, come on, walk. Like that. Yes? Srila Prabhupada ki. So, I'm going to go back to this, one of my favorites from the meditations of Gaurijan. Remember the picture? Lady carrying a bundle on her head, early morning, sweater, out in the morning sun, the shade of the shade trees on the opposite side from where you're looking. She's walking along the path. O holy names of Krishna, may I cast off the burden of Maya and accept your shelter. Kindly award this weak soul the required strength to serve you. Or, please accept me, as Prabhupada is saying here. So we'll have time for one more exercise, and our kirtan group can get ready. I think you need Govinda, wherever he went to, or mridanga player.
Now we're going to talk about another concept called sacred space. How many of you are familiar with that term, sacred space? A few, who has? So we'll talk about it a little bit. So sacred space is external and internal, both. There's a saying that environment is more powerful than willpower. Of course, we can turn it around, but environment is very powerful. So we want to create an environment externally and internally in a way that the environment supports our practice of chanting. Just for example, going back to the previous example of studying for exams. If we wanted to study for exams, we had a choice to choose between a library and a party. You know, the choice is easy. who choose to study in the library because the environment is supportive. And no matter how hard you try, you may be successful, but it's very difficult if you are trying to study while a party is going on around you. So in the same way, there are certain environments that are very suitable for our chanting. And creating that environment externally really helps. Like in the olden times, the Goswamis, the great sages, they would have this place called Baitak, where they would sit at the same place under the same tree and chant every single day. And even sitting at the same place creates a certain energy. Just as, you know, we've all experienced in our life how certain places you go, you know, certain homes you go, based on the activities they do, the modes or the energy is very strong, you can feel it. And so similarly, it helps very much to create a space within your home where you can every day practice chanting as far as possible in the same place. So this, it supports your practice. And then, so that's the external. And then one more point about external. So sometimes we may not be able to chant in the same space. So we create also, I'll ask you later, to create also a second or a contingency sacred space. Okay, if the first one is not possible, then the second contingency sacred space, you create that. Like somebody is traveling, let's say, for work purposes. You can create like a little mobile altar or something and sit there. And then the second is the internal sacred space where we want to create that space within that will help us to chant. So reflecting on the purpose of chanting and, you know, not just picking up the beads and just Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare without that internal space. Fixing ourselves in a proper space internally, that also greatly helps our chanting. Or stopping or cutting ourselves off from things that drive us, stopping the chatter of the mind, and trying to create that space internally first before we begin that practice. So you can take a few minutes now to just write what is your external and internal sacred space. Just reflect on it. And then you can write perhaps three things that stop you from entering into that space in your daily practice in a way that you can fix it. can complete the exercise later if you need more time.
We're going to sing a song. The author is unknown, but the song itself is very wonderful. Kevalastakam. And when we have our Festival of the Holy Name in Chicago, this is so popular, it's become our theme song. We sing it 2, 3, 4, 5 times. Speak on it at the Sunday feast. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow or Sunday at the temple. It's a wonderful, maybe we'll do that. Sing the song and explain it. So, just so you know what's coming up, after the song, we'll have little kirtan after the song, take a half hour break, and come back at 5:30. Something like that. And then we'll follow, keep the schedule for the rest of the time. Do the kids have a skit? Is that planned? It's okay. And they'll be on time, right? Do they know to be on time? Do they know what time they have? Okay, as long as they know and they're ready, that's great. Great.
Madhuram Madhure.